You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Willis Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Y'all turn to Romans 8. I'm going to minister this morning about the Holy Spirit. And not so much being baptized in the Holy Spirit, although I love that. I think everyone should do it. I don't believe you have to do it to get saved, but I think you should if you are saved. But I want to talk to you about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit and what His responsibilities are. I think a lot of us aren't tapping into those resources, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and that's what I want to talk about first, is make sure y'all understand that. In Romans 8, did y'all find it? I didn't do like my dad does until y'all turn somewhere and then 20 minutes later start reading. Y'all had to find it fast. Y'all had to find scriptures fast this morning. Okay, Romans 8 and verse 9, he says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." So, if you don't have the Spirit living in you, then you're not Jesus, which means you're not saved. You're not God, so you're not saved. So, if you're saved, I think most of y'all, I know most of y'all, you're all home folks, remember? Most of y'all, I know, and so I know that you're saved. So, you all have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Now, you may not all be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think for the most part, being in the church you're in, you probably are. There may be some that are not. But you, regardless, you all have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you because that's what this scripture just said. If you're His, then you have the Spirit dwelling in you. And then he says in verse 10, "If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you." And we know that. Right? We got that? We're saved. So the Spirit dwells in us. So if that Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit dwells in us, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. The old King James says quicken. But he will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That is an awesome scripture to stand on when you're believing for healing. You need to remind yourself that same Spirit, you know, whenever you have sickness or something that comes up against you, you can say, no, the same Spirit that if the Spirit can raise Christ from the dead, he surely can heal you. He can heal you of a common cold or a headache or a cancer. It doesn't matter. He raised Christ from the dead. That same Spirit lives in you. So that's not my message, but that's a good scripture you can stand on. So anyway, and then he says, we're going to skip a couple of verses. He says in verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So that's what the Spirit does, is he bears witness with us. That's one thing. He identifies us. He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And in Ephesians, we won't stay anywhere for very long. In Ephesians 4, it's like Bible drills. There. In Ephesians 4, I love Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. I'm not like my dad who has 66. There's a few I think they could have done without, but I'm just kidding. They're in there for good reason. But Ephesians is one of my favorite books. It's six chapters. The first three chapters are, you are Christians. You're saved. You've been adopted. You know, Paul's writing to the Ephesians, and they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. They had not been Jews, but they had been saved. And so he's telling them, even though you weren't Jews to begin with, you are still part of this family. You've been adopted. That's what the first chapter is about. And so the first three chapters, he's just laying that foundation of who you are in Christ. This is who you are. And the last three chapters are, now live like it. And so in chapter 4, he just talks about, you know, you've got to put off a lot of these things. These things don't fit you. They're not are becoming to you. He talks about that in chapter 5. And one of the things he talks about is your conversation. And he says in verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." That you need to watch what you say. You need to impart grace to people. And the person that you hear talk more than anybody is yourself. So even when it's just you in the windshield of your car, you need to be imparting grace to yourself because you're a hearer of what you're saying. And so he goes from that. Goes verse 30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." He's who sealed us. He identified us. And that's what he just said in verse, you know, Romans 8:16, that he sealed us. He identifies us as his own. This is what the New Living, listen to this. This is good. "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live." See, that's what he just got done talking about. By the way you live, you don't need to bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. You think about, my dad uses this example. I know you're going to get tired of hearing me talk about my dad. But he's the greatest minister. I have to say that because he may listen to this message. He is the greatest minister there ever was. And I really do believe that. But my dad, I remember now. It's about family. I'll remember this. My dad will say, you know, growing up, his dad would tell him, because you know, he's a Williams. You're a Williams, son. When you go out there, you're a Williams. When you come home, you're a Williams. You're a representing the Williams family. You know, as a Christian, I'm representing the family of God. I was a Williams, so I still represent the Williams family, and now I'm a Strutton, so I sort of represent the Struttons, too. I'm a member of International Outreach Church, so I represent International Outreach Church. It doesn't matter where I am. You know, I'm not, this isn't just me here. When I leave this building, when I go shopping, I represent. And something else, you think about this, is if I went out and wore a shirt, you know, our church has, our Holy Night shirts, they have International Outreach on them. Other people know, hey, she goes to International Outreach Church. They, because I've identified myself by wearing that shirt. The New Living on that verse, close my Bible. He said, well, it says, he's identified you as his own, is what the New Living says. So don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved. So the Holy Spirit is our identifier. He's that T-shirt that we're wearing. You know, when you ever tell people you're a Christian, for one, they should not be shocked. They shouldn't like, oh my gosh, you're a Christian. No, they should know there's something different about you. And when you tell them, you know, they might say, you know, I knew there was something different about you. That's the Holy Spirit they see. That's that T-shirt they recognize, because the Holy Spirit has identified you differently. He's identified you as God's own. And so because we're representatives, we don't need to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, back to the story of my dad. His dad would tell him, now, boy, remember, you're a Williams. And, you know, he didn't want to bring shame to the family. Well, we need to, by the way that we live, we need to act like we're part of this family. I need to act like I'm wearing an International Outreach Church all the time, a T-shirt all the time, because I do have a marker on me. I've got an identifier. I've got the Holy Spirit on me, and I am a representative of Christ. I'm representative of my family. I'm a representative of this church. I represent a lot of things, and so I need to. I don't know why I'm teaching. That's not what I'm teaching about. I love that. I love to teach about, you know, righteous living. So maybe that's why. But anyway. You need to, the Holy Spirit identifies you. That's one characteristic of him. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 1. So when he's guaranteed, he sealed us is what that verse just said, that by whom we were sealed. So the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. In chapter 1, in verse 13, in him, this Jesus, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So here it is again, that the Holy Spirit has sealed us. He sealed us for the day of redemption, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. He's who guarantees. He's our guarantee, and you might have a footnote that says down payment or deposit. Mine says down payment or earnest. You know, whenever you get a loan, he's a guarantee of our inheritance. Whenever you get a loan for something, most of the time they want a down payment on that thing. And what that is saying, okay, this is just a portion of what is left to come. I'm make good on this this loan. I'm going to give you the rest of the money, but this is just a down payment. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's our down payment of heaven. I mean, he is just the joy that you feel on earth, that the peace that you feel, that's just a glimpse. That's just the down payment of what we're going to experience. So the Holy Spirit is our down payment. He's our guarantee. And you know there's more coming. It's the best day that you've ever had here on earth, if you, you know, having a child, I mean, that was one of the greatest days. Having another child, that was a good day. And that was a great day, too. They're both very wonderful children. Getting married, you know, these going on vacation, you know, the best day you can ever imagine. Think about all the good things that happened and everything that was so wonderful about that day. That's just a glimpse. That's just a glimpse of what is to come. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's just our glimpse of heaven. Now, am I going too fast? Y'all understanding me? Okay. John 14. This is Jesus is talking. He's getting. He's telling all kinds of stuff here, and he starts off, and this is a very good verse in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So this kind of this whole chapter is talking about peace and how you're responsible for not letting yourself get troubled, not letting yourself get in worry about stuff. And then he tells him, you know, don't worry. You know, I know he's telling him, you know, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send somebody. And that was the Holy Spirit. And that's what he talks about here in verse 26. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So he's a helper. You may have a footnote on helper that says the comforter. He is a comforter. He's going to comfort. You know those times that you've ever had gone through a situation and you have just like this unexplainable peace that you cannot describe? That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. That's who he is. You know, we need to realize who the Holy Spirit is so that we not take advantage of him per se, but we use him. We need to be able to use him and once you have an experience with the Holy Spirit as far as peace is concerned, we all have experience with the Holy Spirit because he baptized us into Jesus. You know, the three baptisms, there's baptism into water, baptism into to salvation, which is Jesus, done by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. Now, I told you, I believe that you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I am. I speak in tongues. We pray in tongues. We sing in tongues. And I think that every believer should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother level. I mean, you already have this experience of the Holy Spirit whenever you get saved because he baptized you into Jesus. And you sort of like have this relationship with him. Well, that's just a whole other level in a relationship. Wouldn't it be ridiculous if I was married to Ryan and not know everything there is to know about him? I want to know what food he likes or doesn't like, where he likes to eat, what shows he likes. Well, really, it's just one channel. It's called ESPN. And that's all he watches, basically. 142 on Dish. Yeah, hallelujah, yes. But, you know, when we had Mikkel, we were building, y'all ready for a story? This is totally not anything to do with this. We were building a house. We lived with my parents for a little while Mikkel was born. He would watch her, he'd watch ESPN, hold her, you know. And so on the days that he'd go to work, if I turn on ESPN, boy, she'd calm down. See, that music, the sound of it, sports and everything. Now, not so much, but you know, it would be ridiculous being in a relationship with him and not know everything there is to know about him. Well, I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I need to know everything there is to know about him. I need to know that he's my identifier. I need to know that he's my comforter, my helper. I need to know that he has sealed me. He's my deposit. He's my down payment. He's my glimpse of heaven. And furthermore, I need to be baptized into the Holy Spirit. You know, that's a whole nother level. And you want to know everything there is to know about your spouse. You need to know everything there is to know about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that's just part of it. So I encourage that. Y'all, you need to do that. Okay, so anyway, John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. This verse has three things. He is our Helper. He will teach you all things. He's your teacher. He's going to lead you and guide you. You know, the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit, the children of God are led by the Holy Spirit. He will lead. He'll teach us all things. He'll remind us. This is the next thing. So he's your reminder. He'll remind you. You know, we use that a lot about Scripture. He'll remind us of verses. I always lean on this verse. Being a secretary at the church, you know, we get phone calls from people, and a lot of times mom and dad are not home. This is my second home. A lot of times they're not in the office. And so, you know, they need some advice. And so I lean on this scripture. Well, God, you're just going to bring to my remembrance all the things that I've learned, all the things that I have read, all the things that I've heard, you know, sitting under dad. You'll bring to my remembrance. And I rely heavily on that verse. But, you know, in your own life, he's going to remind you. When sickness comes up, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I'm healed. He's your helper. He's your helper, and he's other people's helper through you. He's going to use you. He's going to bring to your remembrance. But the thing is, he can't bring to your remembrance something that you've never put in there. You know, you just like, I use this example a lot. You can't go to your fridge and pull out grapes if you've never even put grapes in there. The Holy Spirit's not a magician. You know, he is your helper. He helps you. But your responsibility is put the word in you. Put the grapes in the fridge, and then he'll go and pull them out. He can go and pull 1 Peter 2:24 out of your heart as long as you put it in there, as long as you've read it, as long as you heard it. So there's a responsibility on your part. You have to do something. He's not your doer. He's your helper. So he'll remind you. So we talk about reminding as far as Scripture is concerned, but he'll remind you for other stuff. You know, I'll lay in bed at night, and like a woman, all these things got through my head. And so I'll say, oh, God, remind me in the morning to do this, you know, like get Kel's lunch or, you know, whatever, just silly stuff. The Bible says he's my reminder. And so I rely on that. I'll use him. Okay, Holy Spirit, in the morning he'll remind me. And you can stay on that scripture for memory. If you suffer with memory loss or have trouble remembering things or people's names or, you know, whatever it is, stand on that because the Holy Spirit is your reminder. You need to know this. You need to know who he is. Okay. Sorry. Now, the Amplified on this is very good. He names, verse 26, he says that the Comforter, and he names several things. So he is our comforter. He comforts us in times of trouble or things that we're going through. He'll comfort you in times of a loved one going on. But he's our comfort, our counselor. The Holy Spirit will counsel us, will give us advice, good advice. And if you'll heed the voice and heed the nudging of the Holy Spirit, you know you're more prone to listen to that in the future. Because if we call it quenching the Spirit whenever you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, you just ignore, the world will call it your conscience. Well, we call it our Holy Spirit when you ignore the conscience. And you keep doing the things that are contrary to the Word of God. Well, the more that you do that, the less audible that voice is, and you're not listening. So you're not, you know, you can rely on him as far as a counselor is concerned on which direction to go. You know, a lot of times you have decisions that you have to make, and, big decisions. I'm not talking about, like, what you're going to eat, what restaurants. I know here at the office we go out to eat, and the biggest dilemma of the day is where are we going to go eat? And we'll start discussing about 10 o'clock, hoping by 12 we're ready and made a decision. But I'm not talking, maybe we should start calling the Holy Spirit for that. Lead us, where should we go? But, you know, like buying a house or moving or getting a job, you know, deciding, you a lot of times it's a choice between at least two or more. And you need to go where you feel more peace about. A lot of times it's not even the thing that looks the best on the surface. Maybe like a job, it may not be the job where you get the most money or the better benefits, but you feel more peace about that job. That's the Holy Spirit. And the more that you heed the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more you'll recognize that in decisions to come. And you'll start, you know what, and the more that you prove the Holy Spirit, the more that you're going to rely upon him. So, you know what? We had peace about this job, and I know it was the least paying job out of all the choices that I had, but look where we are now. And we proved the Holy Spirit, and he was right. And now anytime something else comes up, he's teaching you is what he's doing. He's teaching you to listen to him. He's giving you advice. He's your counselor. And then he says, the Amplified also says, he's your helper, which we went over. He's your intercessor, your advocate. In Romans 8, in 26, we taught in Romans 8, establishing that the Holy Spirit dwells in us because we were saved. But later on, he talks about actually being baptized into the Holy Spirit, and he says that he will help you, that whenever you know not how to pray, that he will give you groanings or utterances. And so that's talking about praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit. He helps you to do that. The Holy Spirit you'll hear referred to as a gentleman. He's not just going to, like, jump on you in the middle of the store and start speaking in tongues. He's a gentleman. And remember I said he's not your doer either. He's your helper. He allows you. You have to give him permission to work in you. So whenever you're praying, when, meaning it's going to happen, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, because I think you should. It's just not like, it's something that you have to start. You have to give in to that, submit yourselves to the Holy Spirit. But he's going to help you. My dad tells a story. I hadn't told it in a long time. This is one, you know, my dad's got those jokes that you wish he would kill. And there's some I wish he would resurrect. And he'll ask, I know he asks all the time, why is your life, do y'all not get it? I'm like, no, Dad, that thing is so old. We've heard it so many times. Maybe he shouldn't listen to this message. Okay, so remember the old farmer who he works on a farm. That's why he's called a farmer. He hires somebody to help him, and they're driving along in the truck, and they come up to a gate, and he sits there, and he tells the guy, and he says, you know, why don't you go open the gate? He goes, no. He goes, why aren't you going to open the gate? I hired you to help me. And the guy tells him, well, you get out there and open that gate. If you need help, I'll help you. Because he's his helper. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That he's not our doer. He's our helper. He will help us. Whenever in Romans 8:26, when he talks about that when we know not how to pray for somebody, you know, he'll give us utterance or groanings. That there's a responsibility on your part to even start praying for them. You got to open your mouth, and he will give you utterance. You know, a lot of times when you're praying for somebody, you don't know their situation. Maybe you just heard, you really need to pray for so-and-so, and you don't know how to pray. So you just pray in tongues. Or you don't know where they are. Maybe you know the situation, but you don't know how they believe. And, you know, you can't pray healing on somebody if they don't believe for healing. You can pray that they'll have an understanding, a revelation of it. But you can pray in tongues. I mean, he helps you. He helps you. He's your intercessor. He's your advocate. And then he goes on. He says he's our strengthener. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us. In Jude 20 and 21, he says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. The Holy Spirit edifies you. He's your edifier. So, I mean, so far, we've got he's our identifier, he's our comforter, he's our helper, he's our advocate, he's our intercessor, he's our counselor. Did I do that one already? He's a lot of these. Are y'all taking notes? Are you writing this stuff down? He's our edifier. He builds us up. He's our strengthener. He builds us up on our faith. That's the other level of your relationship with the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, because that builds up your faith. That strengthens you. In Ephesians 3. I'm not used to having something there. Ephesians 3:16. He says, this is Paul praying, and he's praying for the Ephesians, and in the middle of that, he prays that they'll be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in their inner man. The Holy Spirit will strengthen your inner man. He strengthens you with the might of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He strengthens you. And then, my favorite one, man, I'm going fast, standby. He says the Holy Spirit is your standby. Now, we're going to skip this because I'm going to have to read the rest of this, and we'll go back. My dad does that, so I can do it too. I learned by his example. Okay, so he says, let me read this again. But the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. Remember, this is Jesus speaking. The Holy Spirit stands in his place, is representing him, and acts on his behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you. And that's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. But it's our responsibility to listen to him. It's our responsibility to get in the Word and put that stuff in our hearts so he can bring it back up. And now, y'all ready for this? This is what my dad always says. He'll come to my office because he likes to study a lot. I know y'all didn't know that. He studies all the time. He'll come to my office and sit down and he'll say, are you ready for this? I go, yeah, Dad. No, I don't think you're ready for this. I'm like, no, I'm ready. But y'all aren't ready for this. He does that up here too sometimes. Okay. Standby, the definition of standby, is a staunch supporter or adherent one who can be relied upon. That's the Holy Spirit. He can be relied upon. There's four different ones. I'm not done. Something upon which one can rely and therefore choose to use regularly. You need to, and that's your choice. You need to choose to use him regularly because you can rely upon him, because you've proven him time and time again. And then a third one, something or someone held ready to serve as a substitute. And that's what he is for Jesus. He's a substitute for Jesus. That's what Jesus said. He's coming in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. But he's ready to serve as a substitute. And then number four, he's a traveler who is waiting for last-minute accommodations. I mean, we know this. If you've ever traveled and you've ever been on standby, and what you're doing is you're just waiting for an availability to come up. This is a traveler who's waiting for last-minute accommodations to become available as a result of a cancellation. You know, so many times we are looking for peace, or we're looking for joy, or looking for love in all the wrong places. And we think that we have found it, but all you've done is you have just, it's here for a minute and it's gone in the next, you know. But we're looking in all the wrong places. And with the Holy Spirit, He's on standby. He's waiting on you to accommodate Him. He's waiting on you to cancel all these other things that you've tried and accommodate Him. He's ready. He's waiting. He's our substitute. He's our counselor. He is our love. He is our peace. He is our joy. He's that glimpse of heaven. He's just waiting on a cancellation, a last-minute cancellation, accommodation to be made on as a result of a cancellation. He's waiting on you to do your part, to cancel all those other things that you've been trying, and use Him, and use Him regularly. It's not a one-time deal. You need to use Him regularly. You need to realize what it is that He has to offer for you. All these things, He identifies us as His own. He identifies us as a child of God. And He seals us. He guarantees us our, He guarantees that we have a place in heaven. He guarantees that the little things that we have here, the glimpses of heaven, that joy, the unspeakable joy that you feel. Can you imagine? Remember we talked about you know what, hearing, I love to listen to y'all sing. I love to listen to that because that's what God hears. Can you imagine what heaven is like? Hearing that all the time? This is just a glimpse. This is just a glimpse of what is to come. But He'll give that to you. If you're not experiencing some glimpses, then you're not using Him regularly. He has not been a standby for you. If He is your teacher, He will teach you in the way that you should go. He will lead you. The Bible says He will lead you in the way that you should go. He will remind you. He'll remind you of who you are. He'll remind you of what you can have. He'll remind you of the blessings that are available to you. He'll remind you of scriptures. He will, you know, God, the Holy Spirit will lead you also to minister to other people. I know there's been several times that, you know, someone will come up in my mind and I hadn't thought about them in forever, and I've learned not to dismiss that. Like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pray for them. And sometimes I'll even go as far as to call them. Now you can just text. You don't have to call. You can text them or call them. Just let them know. And, you know, sometimes it may be nothing, but at least I got prayed for. But then there's been a lot of times that, God will give me a scripture for somebody. The Holy Spirit will bring me a scripture, remind me of a scripture. And I pray that scripture for that person. I'll even share that scripture for them. And the more that I give into that, the more that I submit to that, the more He's going to use me. So the more people are going to be blessed because I've submitted to God. I've submitted to the Holy Spirit. He's able to use me regularly because I've used Him regularly and I've listened to Him. But my favorite one is that standby. He is our standby. He's there. He's just waiting on you to cancel out all these other things that you've been trying and give in to Him. I keep saying give in, but it's more of a submission, a surrendering. We need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to move in us. And, you know, about praying in tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that is an act of surrendering too. I mean, you surrender yourself. And I love that because it's not you praying. It's the Holy Spirit praying for you. And so it's more of just, you know, I love coming to where I love worship. I love praise and worship. And I said it before that whenever you come worship, this is the way we sacrifice now. In the old days, they did the lamb, bull, and goat and all that other mess, and they don't do that anymore. Now the sacrifice that we bring is the fruit of our lips. And we come and we praise Him. And, you know, we sing and we praise and worship Him. And that, you need to come wholeheartedly. You know, whenever they, in the old days when they brought sacrifices to Him, they brought the best goat or whatever animal. Cats. I always say I think they should have brought a cat. I'm sorry if you're a cat person. I am not. I would have brought the best one. Oh, look, God. There's another one bites the dust. No. They bring the best of the best without spot and without blemish. So now our sacrifice being the praise, the fruit of our lips, we need to bring the best of the best to Him. Whenever I come into worship, I need, you know, leave all those cares behind. Leave what it's for lunch. That's always the million-dollar question because my mom cooks every Sunday. What's for lunch? No, leave that all behind. And you come raw, just you. But when you're praising in the Holy Spirit, that's less you and more of your spirit, less flesh and more spirit. And that's a whole other level of being of your relationship with the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to leave you with a story. And my dad tells this story too. I don't think I know any stories on my own without him. But the remember, and he uses this story a lot about the guy who bought a ticket for a cruise. And he goes on this cruise and he takes cheese and crackers and he eats it every day for dinner, you know, for every meal every day. And the last meal, the last day, a guy says, "Hey man, they're having," that's how they talk, "Hey man. Hey man, they're having dinner. Are you going to come eat with us?" And he says, "Oh no, you know, I'm just going to eat my cheese and crackers." And he says, "Oh no, you know, they've got this big meal, this they'll wait on you hand and foot, and it's so good, so fattening." But you know, the Bible says, this is scripture, y'all can, the Bible says, "Eat the fat and drink the sweet." That's Nehemiah 8:10. Right before it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." So I always say that means I can eat steak and drink Dr. Pepper, because it's in the Bible. But anyway, so they have this luxurious, that's a really good meal. I can't even say that word. So the guy says, no, I have my cheese and crackers. You know, I didn't have enough for the ticket. I mean, I had barely enough for the ticket. I didn't have enough for the meals. And the guy says, "Well, don't you know the meals are included? You know, we all have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but yet we don't know all the things that's included. And how much have we been missing?" I mean, think about that. He'd been on this cruise. Let's just make it up. He'd been on a cruise for a week. And he'd all these meals that he'd been missing out on because he didn't know. Well, a lot of us are missing out on what the Holy Spirit has to offer because we didn't read the ticket. We didn't read what's in there. We didn't read all the things that he's been offering us, and we've missed out on so much. Don't waste any more time. I mean, that stick the fork in, we're done. No, we're not done. Just now that you know, rely upon him to be your strengthener and to be your advocate and to be your helper and your teacher. And your reminder, you can have him. I'm telling you, women, when you lay in bed at night and you're, I forgot to do this. Just Holy Spirit, in the morning, please remind me to do this. It works. I promise you it works. But he is your reminder. He'll remind you of the word and remind you of silly things too. But you need to know, now that you know, knowing is half the battle. Isn't that what G.I. Joe used to say? Am I dating myself? Do they play G.I. Joe anymore? Okay. I only know that because Chris told me. No, because he made me watch it. But anyway, you need to take advantage of that and use the Holy Spirit. Use him regularly. Amen?